Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Again, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. We are glad that you are back with us. We're always glad. I should probably find a different adjective. We are jubilant. No, we are ecstatic. No, that's also not us. But
we are very braggadocious towards our friends when we know that you are listening to us. We talk about you all the time.
What braggadocious means. It is a word. The first one that came up in the thesaurus was full of hot air. And I think.
Well, used in the original context in that I said it, it very much aptly applied.
Well, and I think if you own a podcast, I think that very much describes. I'll point at myself. We are talking about local mission trips today as we talk about larger events. And I think this was a unique opportunity to just keep in mind as you plan a larger event and just wanted to allow us a chance to see different opportunities that are available to us as leaders. Also different opportunities that our own local church may know about, may not know about. But different opportunities that are presented here for us to take advantage of. And let's get into this, Jordan, as we,
All right. So
transition.
Yes. As we look at local mission trips, let's quick highlight some of the things that we know are available. Yes. I know of one place, for example, that my brother is at, and they're out in California, and one of their regular things that they did was like baseball camps. So they would do as a way of connecting with people from the community. They'd have this service where they would play baseball, do some coaching, have some basic fundamental work, stuff like that, and connect that way. They really love baseball, so that was very fitting for them. I've done a tennis camp in the past, just like an introductory, how do you play the game? So if you know a sport that you enjoy and people in the community, you have access to facilities, it could just simply be like you get people together and do a training camp of something like that. Recognizing, obviously, that if you've got like volleyball in the area and there's all these professional volleyball camps, you might not get people from the older kids going there. But as an introductory kind of way of serving, you know, that's an opportunity that we have. And I saw your finger up, so.
Or you could host the volleyball camp.
You could host it too. Yes. You could host it. Bring in people who know what they're doing and you just like run the service part of it.
Just a thought came to mind as you were talking about the tennis camp, hosting the introductory class. What are your thoughts on pickleball?
In general?
Just in general. Like, are you a purist that says only tennis, or are you okay with the cult sensation that swept the nation a few years ago?
Yes, I have played pickleball. I can enjoy certain aspects of pickleball. While playing pickleball, there are things that I miss. Pickleball is a lot more impacted by thing like breeze or wind. I mean, wind impacts tennis too, but not to the same degree as pickleball. So it's a little bit easier to play tennis, but just as far as the weather goes. But then again, like, you have to move a whole lot more in tennis. So I'd say they each have their own virtues, but they're not like, I wouldn't say they're as close as cousins necessarily.
Huh. All right. I think it's just a matter of what is available to you. Like, you can play tickleball.
Very different game.
Pickleball on just your church parking lot if you wanted to, or. But we don't have tennis courts. Like, that's just kind of where we are at. So that's more accessible to us than tennis. But are
you
there
just
got to
do like Wimbledon style? Just mow Wimbledon a field.
Style. Mow a field?
Yeah, Wimbledon's on grass.
I suppose. Yeah, I think we have more interest in actually put if we put in like a sand volleyball court, I think that would be pretty awesome. People might actually that's not a half bad idea. I don't know about sand, but even just putting up a couple posts and find a net.
Sure.
And, yeah. So what other things do you have?
Sports camps. That was one thing we could do. Other things that we could do would be partnering with other service organizations that you know, like maybe you've got a food bank or a soup kitchen or some sort of other place. Now, the challenge with this is going to be finding an opportunity that can fit your timetable and your group size. So if you're going to want your whole group to participate, it's going to be hard to go to an existing organization. Say, hey, Salvation Army, we've got 20 kids and we can be here for 8 hours. What would you like? And they'd be like, we could use two people for 4 hours. And like, well, that's not quite going to work. But maybe it's like talking to your local city, officials and say, hey, you know, we would like to target sometime at this time. Is there something in the community that you would be able to think of that we could do? I know there's different organizations that do like highway cleanup, and there maybe depending on how busy the road is, you want to have some caution, but maybe there's some smaller streets around town. You could just go and pick up or clean up a park or something like that. And have a lot of those smaller opportunities comprised into that one event. And, you know, if you're doing something like that, you could have that relational component too, where you do like maybe a camp out or, you know, make it a couple day thing and have different things going on throughout the nights, bonfires or games or whatever, and service things during the day. You might even have people within your own congregation that could really use some help. I think typically we think of widows, or shut-ins or elderly, with yard stuff or house stuff. But maybe there's someone who is financially struggling and just can't keep up with some things, or, low income who could really use, if you have the funds for it, some sort of work project, maybe like rebuilding the steps, or something like that. There again, you will need to make sure the project fits the group you have and the price you have and the ability you have. Like for some groups, rebuilding the front steps might be more of a liability and say, hey, just so you know, you better be right with Jesus before you try to leave your house, because I can't guarantee that, you know, you don't break your neck. But that does nicely pair with evangelism, though. So maybe that is a plus. I don't know. That was all a joke, but you're giving me like a really serious face.
No, I'm just taking it in, just listening, just receiving. I think there might be some benefit here too of even saying, like, if you're getting from a lot of organizations like Salvation Army or the Food Shelf, like, we don't need that many people for that long, but we could use like a couple people for a couple hours. You could structure it in a way where you have multiple teams based on how many people mm-hmm. are there and what the needs might be. And then do like a debriefing time during like a cookout where you just talk about like,
sure,
you know, cleaning up the road is not exactly, there's not a lot to talk about. It's just kind of you and the open highway and you're standing in a ditch, just kind of going up and down. But you know, you might have had an interaction when you were cleaning up the park, or, you know, you might have recognized a couple of people at, like, there's a Ruby's Pantry here in addition to a Food Shelf. And do you know what Ruby's Pantry is?
I'm not familiar.
Okay. So it's like a Food Shelf, but, I'm trying to remember if people pay or not. I believe if there's any cost associated with it, it's not, you get a lot of food for not a lot of money.
Okay.
And they're usually kind of off brand stuff. So, like Halo ice cream, other types of bread. It's not something that you would usually see on shelves. Not stuff that's about to expire, but it's not like the high end top quality stuff, that you would expect to see. Anyway, you'll get, you might have had people that just recognized, you know, I saw some of my neighbors that were getting food there and I didn't know that they were in a position where they needed to utilize the food, local food shelf. Like, I didn't know mm-hmm. that they were struggling with this. And you don't use this as an opportunity to gossip about your neighbors, because I think there's a little bit of pride and humbleness that comes in here that you got to balance. But you can come and say, like, I didn't know this was a need. And now you have a better way to be able to meet the needs of your neighbors. You know, you could have that kind of a debrief with multiple teams going out as well. But I do like the sports camp. And that is something that we've talked about as well. Just an opportunity to use the sizable yard that we have at our church right now. And maybe that describes you, where you're at. Maybe you're looking and saying, you know, small church in the country, we're kind of landlocked because the land surrounding our church is the cemetery. You can't, you shouldn't play kickball in the cemetery. But, you know, you might be able to go to a local park and say, today we're going to play nine square in the air. I know our mutual friend Nick Olson, and I think Matt Renitz actually too. He's out in Seattle, and they did like they took an old piano and turned it into like a coffee kiosk. Mm. And just anybody that walked by, if you want a free cup of coffee, you're welcome to it. Like, we'd love to sit and connect with you. And they did outreach that way. Mm-hmm. In addition to all of this, you want to talk about VBS? Because that is also kind of the local mission trip that you could set up.
It can be, yeah, if you're going to have a mission outreach. I think to do that, though, you have to be very intentional about seeing it as outreach. Because I know a lot of times, at least in the congregations that I've been in, it hasn't been so much outreach. It's been for our own people and our own kids. Right. Because, you know, it changes your strategies when you have it as outreach. Like, one of the simple things is, like, how do you invite people and how do you make it attractive for people to want to come? It can definitely be that. That's another valid week-long thing. It's not going to take up like the whole day. You suppose you could make it one, but I think that does speak to like the different levels that are available too, though.
Right. We've had VBS set up where our students go and help. Our denomination, for those of you that are familiar, sends out summer teams from the Free Lutheran Bible College. And those teams are a tremendous resource for our churches to utilize. Our church does not, just because we have three churches and they all do VBS all together. So we have an abundance of people willing to help. You know, for people like, hey, I can serve snacks. I can lead games. I can figure out something like, instead of doing crafts that get lost in the van, like, we've done birdhouses, we've written cards to shut-ins. I mean, we've had people willing to coordinate that. Yeah, I can help teach kids how to memorize Bible verses. And you have the people that are just there to help coordinate and coordinate the groups of students as they go around and do all of the things you would usually see at a VBS. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a great benefit of having everybody serve all together during this week. The one thing with VBS that I want to avoid is the idea that, especially if you're labeling VBS as a form of outreach, I don't want this to be a one-shot of outreach, and then we say as a church, well, we're done then. You know, we've done the outreach for the summer. What a week. We're tired. We're glad that it's over and we're done. Having the right perspective on these trips or these events, like, don't let this be just the one shot of your ministry to say, well, this is outreach week, or outreach should be something that you're doing all the time, is I guess what I'm trying to boil down and say.
It shouldn't be the whole puzzle, but a piece of the puzzle as you're strategically trying to accomplish the tasks that the Lord has placed you there for.
Right. Jordan, as we consider these local mission trips here in our own communities, whether that be in your own zip code or larger community in your county or whatever that looks like, I have a couple of drawbacks here as I was working on the outline, but curious if you have anything else that stands out before we get into these, or should we get into these and then if you have anything to add?
I think we can get into it right away.
All right, drawbacks. The first that I had here, it's not as exciting as far as recognizing that there's something to be said about the effectiveness of growing in your relationship with God as it's tied in with getting the further away from your own comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of growth that happens on mission trips, that is really great. I honestly think that everyone, before they graduate high school, should go on a mission trip. Just a personal conviction of mine, not a hill that I'm going to die on. But I think there's something to be said, though, like when you're out of your comfort zone with a group, you know, there's a line. I'll use this line. There was a piece of feedback that the local camp here received from one of the students, was that I don't know if God talks to me louder when I'm here, but I hear him better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really terrific way of communicating. Like, yeah, you know what? Getting out of your comfort zone does cause you to grow as a group, rely on the Lord a lot more than you typically do, and to be challenged in your own faith. But there's something to be, like I said, it's not as exciting saying like, oh, where are you going on your mission trip this year? Oh, we're not. We're staying here. Well, where are you going? Oh, we're going to Peru.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's...
we're going to do a lemonade stand at the bottom of like Machu Picchu.
Oh, not wow.
For free. Yeah, I think I would kind of maybe, I don't want to say this is pushing back, but I think the getting out of the comfort zone is still possible. It's just a lot harder and takes you being a lot more intentional. So sure. For example, like how many of our students are afraid to have a spiritual conversation with someone, you know, typically evangelistic?
Right.
I think that's a pretty high bar. And sometimes it's easier in a different location because you're like, I'm never going to see this person again. So I don't really have to worry about like messing up and then having to run into them in public. And then that's going to be right. different than like if it's someone at school. But there's still like, I think getting out of your context locally too, in some ways can even increase that. Like, because you're planting seeds of accountability for one, like now that I've done this, it's out there and it's kind of living up to it. But I think God can move pretty powerfully there too. It is harder to get away from, like, obviously you're not going to get away from the people as much, but you could put the phones down, you know, you could put some of those things in place. So, but yes, I mean, it's still, I'd say people wouldn't get as excited. And because of that lack of excitement, it might be harder to have the buy-in, you know, like I'm not going to be as personally invested in something that you guys are doing, you know, that I could just hop on my bike and get away from. Or I might try to like say, okay, I'll go to part of it, but then I'm going to duck out for this thing so I can like go to a movie with my friend that I'd planned and then, you know, come back or whatever. So there's those additional challenges too with the buy-in piece and the commitment piece. Like when you're in a different state, like they don't have options of just like, yeah, you know, Josh is picking me up and we're going to go this place. It's like, we're stuck here doing what we're doing. So that would be another drawback too. And yeah, that's probably one of the highlights that I see of that one.
Right. When you get away, it's harder to be justifiably called back to work if something comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't, I'm out of town. Well, not really out of town, but the other one that came to my mind is that there might not be a lot of obvious opportunities. Like there are, and we mentioned quite a few of them, but there are also people tend to not, like, especially if you're going to be helping with local needs, like maybe you do have some people with mobility issues that just need some projects done on their house. They may be just trying to quietly wait for their family to take care of that instead of expressing that particular need. There's a little bit of pride that helps, that prevents people from allowing the church to be the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that be material needs or prayer requests or, you know, whatever that might be. That is a bit of a difficulty that you'll have to, especially if you're thinking about doing like a week long period here of, we're going to focus on this as best we can be hard potentially to fill that particular week. So just something to keep in mind. But we're going to talk about some of the benefits here too, because there's not just drawbacks. There's obvious benefits where you may be able to involve more people from your church, instead of just your students, instead of whatever group that you're working on, it might be more accessible for others of all ages to be able to go there. Where, you know what, I can't afford to go do a conference down in Atlanta, but I can, you know, help out at the if we're doing a sports camp here, I definitely am able to be a part of this. You can have a four-year-old rather adorably paint the lower half of somebody's wall if that's the service project that needs to be done. You have people of all ages that can help serve if you keep it local as well. So that's a definite plus.
Yeah, another plus is that I think that sometimes we get into this mindset of, like, because mission trips seem to be in a context that's always away from home, right, that's where we shine our light for Christ the brightest. But actually, we should be most evidently shining the love of Jesus where we're at. And, you know, this highlights that opportunity for us. And I think, too, this might seem kind of, well, I won't even say that. I think this fits in with what Jesus shares in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before others in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Let's say it together. Vocation.
Yeah. But, like, I think sometimes we see, because it can be confusing, because when we talk about giving in the same sermon, Jesus says, let your left hand not know what your right hand is doing, but give in secret, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you, right? And so we have this conflict of, like, okay, do I do this secretly? Do I do this publicly? But by doing something locally, that answers the question in the eyes of the unbelievers in the community, what does the church do? If the church doesn't do anything locally, then they're not going to have an answer. Like, well, I don't know. What does this church do? They meet, you know, whoop-de-doo. But it's like, no, this church loves people. Like, this church actually serves. Like, they actually take Jesus seriously when he's going and washing his disciples' feet. It's like, this is what you should do. And I think that's a huge plus too. And I think that's healthy to get the eyes off of ourselves and onto the community, onto others, regardless of what opportunity you take.
Right. And I think having that local, like a specific period where you're saying, like, we're going to be outreach oriented, it really opens the eyes, not just your own, but of everyone, to be able to be saying, like, you know what, this is really attainable throughout the rest of the year. Like, we should not just have, like, it's good to have this emphasis and being aware of it and just saying, like, yes, we're going to do this, but also to have the mindset of finding ways to be able to help your neighbor throughout the year. And I think that is a great benefit of these kind of trips as well. But yeah. Would you ever do something like this, Jordan, like an intentional week beyond just the sports camps?
I don't know if I would put together a week for it. I think it'd be so hard to coordinate the logistics of, you know, even if, like, we did the smaller things throughout the week. I think what I actually am kind of contemplating for this summer is I've been reaching out to some of the local opportunities that you typically think of for service. And it might just be like more of a short notice, like, hey, first three people that sign up, we'll do this next Tuesday or something like that. It seems to fit better with what is available around here. Now that's like in my immediate area. If we wanted to, like, expand something, we could, you know, think of the broader UP. Is there something? Well, maybe there is, but you know, another thing that I was thinking, this is maybe for our fellowship, but the ARC has their family spring cleanup time or whatever. And, you know, they include your housing and your meals for you. So it's basically you just have to get there. And that would be something that, it's not going to work for us this year. But you know, opportunities like that, maybe a different camp or a different ministry that could use some help. I think the Bible College has had groups come out there and do service projects and stuff. So there really are a lot of options that you can do domestically that are pretty close, that can be helpful. So,
yeah. Well, good.
Yeah. All right.
Let's land the plane.
Since we've given you all these ideas now, maybe you can, like, take the next hour or so and look to see what's around. So with that, we release you to your work and pray that you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.